you'll look at the screen or turn in your Bibles to the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. Now, I have to tell you something, folks. When you're reading after somebody, I like to know who I'm reading after. And sometimes I'm afraid we get our theology and thoughts from people that are actually unreliable. But when you read Daniel, you're reading one of the most reliable people in the scriptures. He's one of the people that the Bible, you know, the Bible doesn't pull any punches. It says Abraham lied and David killed people and committed adultery. And it tells all the bad stuff as well as the good stuff. But there's no bad stuff to tell about Daniel. Fact is, the Bible goes to great lengths more than once to say in him was an excellent spirit. Wow, wouldn't you like that to be said of you in Holy Writ? Well, as we read the book of Daniel, we're reading from one of the great people of the scripture. And you say, how can I be sure that this is right? Well, when Jesus was here on earth, he quoted from Daniel and specified him by name. So I don't have any greater authority to go to than the Lord himself who came down from glory and said, remember how Daniel said? Well, that really authenticates it, doesn't it? Let's read selected verses from chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael the archangel, well, I don't think it says Mark archangel, I'm editorializing there. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and shall they that turn many away to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Praise God for the reading and hearing of his precious word. Did your eyes happen to catch that, or your ears happen to catch that in verse 8? And he says something that might sound like us. Now, I don't know what expression or inflection of word of voice that Daniel maybe had when he wrote this or when he said this. But when I look at it, I have to say, oh, my Lord, what shall the end of these things be? Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like, God, what next? I mean, we've had the epidemic and the pandemic, and now we have the monkey pox. We have war here and war there. We have corruption here in the government and corruption there. You can't go to bed and not get an ulcer if you watch 11 o'clock news every night. You read the happenings all over the world. You're dumbfounded that people are doing the things that they're doing. And it makes you wonder with Daniel, oh my Lord, what shall the end of these things be? Well, I've got the answer. Hallelujah. Now, the devil won't like my answer, and the devil's crowd won't like my answer. And a lot of people won't like it because you say, well, is it scary? Well, I don't know if it's scary or not, but it's terrifying if you get it right down in your heart and think about it. And that's one of the reasons that I came to Jesus when I did, is because I looked down the road and I saw us heading for a train wreck that was going to crash the whole thing. I'm still thinking that it's going to happen, but I praise God today that I'm on the winning side. We know the answers to what's happening. Now, Daniel had been privileged by God to look into the future. Daniel had reason to be terribly worried. For over 70 years, his people had been captive in a foreign land. He himself, though a high-ranking government official and one of the most powerful people in the world at the time, because he had the ear of the Babylonian king, he was worried. And he looked and he read the books. And you say, what book did he read? Well, he didn't read a lot of the books you have in the Bible. But he did have the book of Jeremiah, because Jeremiah the prophet had prophesied before Daniel and warned the people, going up and down the streets of Jerusalem and Israel, weeping and crying, begging the people to repent, begging the people to turn to God, and they wouldn't. And he prophesied to them that the king would come from the north and would take Israel and Judah captive, and they would stay in the prison of Babylon for 70 years. And Daniel got to reading the book. It pays to read the book, folks. And Daniel got to reading the book, and he looked at it, and you know what it said? It said 70 years. And he counted it up. He said, my goodness, the time is up. The time has come. It's time now for Jeremiah's prophecy to come to pass, and we can go back home to Israel and set up the kingdom and do the work that God has us to do. So he went out and started praying and fasting. He said, God, look here. I've been reading the prophet Jeremiah, and it says that. So he began to pray. He began to seek God. 21 days. Oh, no wonder people don't get through to God with victory. They can't stay long enough because they're going to miss the next television program or something. They can't stay long enough from church to pray through to anything. But Daniel stayed. He started praying, and 21 days later, he was still praying. He started fasting, and 21 days later, he was still fasting. And on the 21st day, down comes an angel from heaven and stands before him and blesses him and said, Daniel, the day you started praying, God answered your prayer. How many times, I wonder, has that happened? That God calls on us and sends an angel down to do it. Well, when the angel left glory and started to come down to see Daniel, what happened? The prince of Persia. The angel of the prince of Persia stood before him and withstood the angel. An angel had been battling the devil, battling the evil of this world for 21 days to get an answer from heaven to Daniel. And when it broke through with victory. Daniel was privileged to see, first through the eye of Nebuchadnezzar the king, and secondly, in his own eyes, the future that lay before them. It wasn't a pretty sight. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, he was a king. He was an emperor, a ruler. He had taken in all of Mesopotamia, what we would call today Iraq and Iran and Syria and part of Turkey. All of that Middle East country had been taken in by Nebuchadnezzar. And he was the mightiest ruler till that time who had ever been. And Daniel sees him through his eyes because God, and people don't think this, but it's true, God can use whoever he wants in whatever way he wants, whenever he wants. He is God. He is God Almighty. And that gives him the sovereign power over everything. So God, instead of sending the vision to Jeremiah or Daniel or someone else, he sends that message to the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon knows that he's had a vision from God. The king of Babylon knows that God has visited him and God has laid out something wonderful before him. Well, what's the problem? He can't remember it. He knows he's received it. He knows he's got it, but he don't know what it is. So they call the wise men together. They call all the people together. And guess who has the answer? God's man Daniel has the answer. And Nebuchadnezzar has seen a great image, a great colossal image of a Babylonian ruler or warrior or something of that nature. And as he looks at it, he notices that the top of it, the head, is all gold. And as he goes down looking at the image, he sees that the arms and the torso are silver, bronze, brass, till he gets down to the feet, and the feet have 10 toes, 5 on each foot, and the toes are made of iron. Well, not entirely. They're made of iron mixed with clay. Now, you know that's not going to work. You can't have an iron piece or a clay piece and mold iron and mud together. It just won't work. But that's what he saw. Now, as he looked at that image, he wants to know what it is. And God, when he tells Nebuchadnezzar the image, he said, yeah, that come to think about it, that is what I dreamed. That is what I saw. So he says, what does it mean? He said, I want to tell you, Nebuchadnezzar. And this probably made Nebuchadnezzar feel real good. He said, you are the head of gold. Now, after you, this is what Nebuchadnezzar has to realize, the world don't depend on him. When Nebuchadnezzar lives, he's the head of gold, but Nebuchadnezzar's going to die and pass away. And there's another king going to take his place, and the kingdom is going to be divided into two parts, like the two hands. He goes all the way down and he lists, and as Nebuchadnezzar watches and Daniel interprets, he sees the outline of the history of the world laid before him. He sees these great kingdoms, these great empires that are being built, some that went all the way from Europe to China, some that were so strong, so fierce, so awful, that you could not imagine what kind of people they were that ran them. It wasn't the Romans who invented crucifixion, by the way. It was part of that empire up next to up next to Crimea and up in that area. That's who invented crucifixion. So as he looks at it, he sees the history of the world going down. Hundreds, yes, some of it even thousands of years before the time that it happened. But when he gets through looking, he looks at all of it, and he gets down to the feet, he has seen a turning point of the whole world. And all at once, something happens. Over here is in a mountain, there is a stone cut out without hands. It comes out and it rolls down through the history of the world. And suddenly, it smites the image on the feet, and the image collapses and falls down to the ground and becomes nothing. This is what the destiny of the world kingdoms are. My friend, all of these kingdoms he saw setting up, and all of these kingdoms he saw through the years, all the way through the time of the Lord Jesus being here on the earth. And as he watched all of those kingdoms taking place on the earth, he watched all of those things taking place. He suddenly saw them all collapse and become nothing. And the stone that was hewed out of the mountains without hands had crushed the image to its final destination. And suddenly the stone grew into a mountain that filled the whole earth. You say, what's all that lesson? All of the kingdoms of the earth will have their day. All of the kings of the earth will have their day, but in the end, there will be a stone from heaven, from the mountain, that will come down and smite that image of men and become so great that it becomes a kingdom that fills the whole earth. Now, after this, Daniel saw this again, but this time not through Nebuchadnezzar's eyes. What you saw and heard first was the idea through a king's mind that God put out. But what we see in the end is the way it really is. And as he looked, he noticed some of these kingdoms were like lions. Some of these kingdoms were like leopards. Some of these kingdoms were like a bear. Some of these kingdoms were like some kind of beast that he didn't know what to call it. They had part one beast and part another beast. And they roared and they hollered. They were all carnivores. They were all killers. They all ate meat. They all took advantage of someone else. These kingdoms, what Nebuchadnezzar saw was the worth of the kingdom. What Daniel saw from God was the inner characteristics of the kingdom. The kingdoms of this world, my friend, are not established by being good to people. You see the war going on right now over in the Ukraine. You see that going on, the cruelty and the awfulness of it. It's a drop of the bucket beside the cruelty of armies marching and soldiers fighting and bombs dropping and all the things that have happened in the world. Just go back through world history and follow this. My friend, they're all carnivores. The final beast, the one that will bring forth the Antichrist, the final beast, they said, was so fierce, Daniel didn't know what to call it. It said he was an angry beast. He stamped everything that he couldn't kill. He stamped with his foot and stomped on. It was horrible. So when he looked at the things coming on the world, he saw that these kingdoms became less and less valuable, starting with the gold of Nebuchadnezzar and ending with the iron and the clay of the Roman Empire and its successor. My friend, when Daniel looked at all of this, no wonder he lay on his face and trembled and prayed before God. My friend, the history of the world, the history of mankind, is a history of people doing other people in. Oh, my friend, I wonder at the cruelty of mankind to each other. And I have to tell you something. You say, well, war is an awful thing. Yes. I think maybe it's General Patton said war is hell, and he's right. But the funny thing is, as awful as war is, guess who likes to have them? Human beings. We do it to each other. And you say, oh, human beings don't like war. Human beings don't care about war. Go across Virginia. Let's just take Virginia. Start in Southwest Virginia. Move across South Side and up the East Coast and back down to South Side again. What are our greatest parks? What are our greatest monuments? You know what they are? They're men on horses with guns and swords. They're battlefields all across the Commonwealth. There are battlefields laid out to commemorate the thousands, hundreds of thousands of human beings that we've killed. How sad the human life has been. And you say, this is what Daniel saw? This is what Daniel saw. And when Daniel saw it all, you know what he said? He said, oh Lord, how long shall these things be? What shall the end of these things be? My brothers and sisters, I don't think that the monkey stuff is the end. I don't think the COVID is the end. I don't think that any of the viruses are the end. But did you ever notice? You can't get rid of one till you have another. You can't get away from one disaster till you have another. Do you recognize that the number of earthquakes that happen in this world are hundreds of times more today than they were when Columbus discovered America? Do you realize today, my friend, that the human beings cannot keep the peace? We fight over our religion. We fight 100-year war, 30-year war. We fight these terrible wars. And you say, well, at least we don't string them up on crosses anymore, and at least we don't do this. Nah, we've got to be real civilized. We just drop a bomb and wipe a whole city off the face of the earth. We just drop a bomb and kill 100,000 people in about 3 seconds. We just drop a bomb and release radiation. And my friend, it's entirely possible that in your time you will see clouds of radiation streaking over this earth from nuclear war. And you say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What I can tell you, my friend, is it's not a pretty picture. I feel compelled to deliver this type message periodically. I don't want you to become complacent. I don't want you to come to the place that you think, well, everything's going on. The Bible said that scoffers would come, walking in their own ways, and scoffers would come saying, where's the promise of his coming? Why everything's just like it's always been from the beginning? I had one of our political leaders in this area stop one day at the store when I had the hardware, and he come in, he's fussing about his preacher. And I said, what's wrong with him? He said, well, he's talking about the end of time and the coming of the Lord. That's all I hear him talk about, the coming of the Lord. Be ready for the coming of the Lord. Said they've been preaching that all my life, and he had not here yet. He just stood right there in my hardware store and fulfilled the scripture, didn't he? That's exactly what the Bible said they would do. Listen, when Jesus came to this earth, and just before he was crucified, just before he left, my friend, he started telling them about being prepared, virgins that needed to be prepared, workers that needed to be prepared, people that needed to be prepared. And among all those things he said, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. And then we continue reading over in Matthew 24, where I've been reading from, over in verse 21. And it says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, and never shall be. And except these days would be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, these days will be shortened. And he goes on to tell us the terrible things that are coming to the world. Behold, I have told you before, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that it were possible they would deceive the very elect. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. My brothers and sisters, when you look at those scriptures, you have to realize this is not some kook on television talking. This is not some priest or prophet or some religious person that's gone out on a limb. This is not somebody that you can't trust. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself, before he went back to glory, is delivering to the church and delivering to his people the need to be ready, the need to, let's read, continue. And that doesn't just happen in Daniel and in Matthew, but on over at the end of the second epistle of Peter, we hear Peter talking, and let's listen to him. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. And after that, all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord? My brothers and sisters, the day will come. The day will be here. And you say, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What's the end of this going to be? Well, I'll tell you what it's going to be. One of the end things is going to be real good. You know what Daniel said? He said, and many of them that sleep in the dust shall come forth, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting content. Again, we hear the prophets say, that many of them that sleep in the earth will come forth with singing and sing. Won't that be wonderful? Won't that be great, my friend? This is how it's going to end. The righteous of God, the saved, blood-bought people, filled with the Holy Spirit, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. My friend, when the world's on fire and the darkness fills the air, we used to sing, I'll be satisfied. When my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied. Brothers and sisters, there's coming a resurrection of the dead. You say, that's going to be happening in heaven? Yes, it is. What's going to be happening on earth? All hell's going to break loose. The Holy Spirit will have been taken away. As the church of God is caught away from the earth to the throne room of glory, and as the saints shout around the throne, somebody's going to say, look, the kingdoms of this earth have fallen. Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of every foul and unclean bird and spirit. They're going to cry out and they're going to say, the kingdoms of this world have crumbled. The stone has rolled out of the mountain and hit the base of the image of the beast. And my friend, it has destroyed and tore down the beast. And what's going to happen? Oh, in heaven, all heaven's going to break loose. While all hell breaks loose on earth, and men are screaming for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, men are looking for the place to hide in the caves and the dens of the earth, and men are running and cursing God for all the things that's gone on. And yes, I'm quoting from the Revelation, my friend, in heaven around the throne, the redeemed of the Lord are going to raise a shout of glory, a shout of praise, because the kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. John saw it in Revelation as a great army, the Battle of Armageddon, we call it. It won't be any battle at all to speak of, not nearly as much as gone on over in the Middle East in the last little while. You say, why not? Because when the clouds roll back some glorious morning, hallelujah, and you look up through that sky, my friend, and you look to see, yonder He comes. He's sitting on a white horse, my friend, and He has a cloak dipped in blood. And on His head there's a crown and a sword that goes forth. And the armies of the world will have gathered to destroy Jerusalem and to destroy the Jews and destroy God's people. And as they do, here comes that rider on that horse, you say, coming by himself. Oh no, my friend, that's the cavalry coming. You see, there's a whole army on white horses behind him. Go read it. The whole host of heaven. Anytime the Bible speaks of the host, it's talking about the army. The armies of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and all the people that are following. That's how it's going to end, Daniel. That's when the end of these things is going to be, Daniel. These things are going to stop. These things are going to come to an end. And the power of the great God is going to be exhibited on this earth. Brothers and sisters, that whole enemy army, you might just want to put this in your pocket and sit on it a little while, but an army of 200 million men, there's only one country in this world that can muster up that type of an army and send it to the field. But do you know from the place where that army comes to the place of Jerusalem is not an ocean between it? They actually can march across Afghanistan, Mongolia and Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and Syria and be it Israel. Do you realize, my friend, that the Chinese government can muster that kind of army? And do you realize that this scripture also says, and the great river Euphrates is dried up to prepare the way of the kings of the east. Somewhere from the east is a great army coming. My friend, somewhere from the east is a great army coming. And somewhere from the north, as in Russia, somewhere from the north, an army joins them. And they join forces to destroy Israel. And my friend, it'll never happen. Because when that happens, the king on the white horse and the host of heaven will come and destroy them. Blood will run as high as horse bridles. Everything will be destroyed. But in the end, my friend, the kingdom of God will be set up on this earth. And you say, when will these things be? When is these things going to happen? You know what it is? When you see all these things come to pass, do what? Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. When you see all these things happening, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, I don't mean to be a pessimist, folks. And I don't mean to be cast a sour note on a happy Sunday afternoon in Virginia. But I want to tell you, my friend, that the future does not look good for this earth. And I want to tell you that our nation could possibly be on the wrong side of the conflict. Our nation stands in danger of being swayed, moved, coerced into fighting against the very person and the very thing that we need. Brothers and sisters, we've been so blessed. We've been so petted. We've lived in the best part of time and land that ever could have been in the whole earth. And you say, well, what do we do? What do we do? Well, the Lord gives us only one piece of advice. And you say, what's that? You see, I have to watch myself. Dottie, Herb, and I would have had kindred spirits on this. I was so mad at my daddy in the late 50s and early 60s. You say, why? Because he wouldn't dig a bomb shelter. I'm a survivalist. I want to do things to help us survive. If I did what I felt like I want to do, I'd start running right now. Not tomorrow, but right now. I'd start running. I'd run somewhere so far back in the mountains they couldn't find me. I'd leave the computer behind and the television, the electricity, and all the things behind. And we'd build a log house beside of a running stream. And we'd just hide in the woods and raise our food and go there. You say, that'd be the thing to do. It can never happen. My friend, let me just say it. How many of you got a cell phone on you right now? Brother knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you're sitting. He knows your car is not in the driveway at your house that is sitting outside this church. They know everything there is to know about you and more than you know. I want to run from it. I want to hide from it. I want to hoard food. I want to hoard infomail. I want to hoard most anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I could, I would run from this generation. If I could, I would run from this society. I would hide somewhere so far away nobody could find me except the rapture when it takes place. But my friend, that's not it. And that's not the message that Jesus told us to do. You say, what did he tell us to do? Did he tell us to flee? Yeah, let me point out just a little thing here in the scripture, that when you're reading the 24th and 25th chapter of Matthew in those places, you think about what he's saying. If you think that that's talking all about the end of time, it's not. Part of chapter 24 of Matthew is about the second coming of the Lord. But part of it is about the destruction of Jerusalem. You see, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath day. If the Lord's coming today, who cares what Saturday, Sunday, or Wednesday, or whatever? You say, well, pray that you won't be pregnant in that time. What difference would it make whether you were pregnant or not if Jesus come? When Jesus comes, there's going to be a lot of pregnant people on this earth. And you say, what's going to happen? Little baby's going on to heaven, leave mama behind because she didn't repent. Little abortion clinics are going to get blown up because all the little babies are going to run out the door and go be with the Lord. You say, oh, preacher, you don't believe that. I don't believe the life is lost. I don't believe it's the life is lost. I believe the life at the moment of conception belongs to the Lord. And that's his business. I would like to run from it all. but I can't. But my Lord has told me what I can do. What's that? Look up. I got to change my direction. I cannot look at Fox or CNN or anyone else to find the answer. I cannot look to the federal government or any other earthly government to find the answer. But I can look up. That's the direction. And when I look up, do what? Watch. Watch. And do what? And we'll stand up to say it. Be ready. You don't have time to play religion. You don't have time left to stand on the sidelines and watch it go by. My friend, the parade of nations has already happened in the book of Daniel. The parade of nations and what's going to happen in this world has already been set forth to us by the Lord Jesus himself. My brothers and sisters, the happiest people on earth are ignorant Christians. Christians who don't know a whole lot about the things in this world, but they know a whole lot about the Lord. My brothers and sisters, I challenge you today, be ready. And if you've got somebody in your family that you think is not ready, be sure that they hear the word of God. Be sure that they hear what's going on. I'm sorry for the little children that are coming on in this world and what they may have to go through with. There's every good chance. The Bible said, pray that you be counted worthy to escape the things that are coming on the earth. You know, it's just possible that most of us here in this audience this morning are going to escape. It's just probable that I'm not going to be here for this. But I want to leave the word with you that you'll never forget. I don't know, I may live to be 125, but that'd be an outside chance. But I might not like it at 125. All this stuff be going on, I might not want to be here anymore. I might want to be go around seeing this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. My Lord's expecting me, and this I surely know, because I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I saw old Sister Mars, Brother Wes's first wife. I saw old Sister Mars when I was a kid. Church down there used to have poles in the middle about that big around holding up the ceiling. And they'd get to shouting and shout around them poles. And I remember one night being at church, and Sister Sally Mars was dancing around that front pole of the church and had her head thrown back and was speaking in tongues and prophesying. And they were singing, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And the next time I saw Sister Sally, the Clendenin branch was up, and my daddy picked me up and carried me across the foot log to her house, because she had been laid out there. She had died after she went home from the meeting down there in the church. She couldn't feel at home in this world anymore, and she was ready to go yonder and meet him. My friend, I don't know when he's coming. I don't know when he's going to call. But the one thing I can do about it, I can't run. I can't escape all the things that's going in the earth. I can't escape clouds of radiation and all those things. So what are you going to do? I'm going to be ready when he comes or he calls, my friend. And when it's over, it's over. Hallelujah, Jesus will be there. Would you give God a hand for a perfect plan? And if I shake you up, good. If I make you afraid, good. If you're not ready to go, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. I can't say it enough or often enough. Brothers and sisters, I pray that the Lord Jesus will send his Spirit to stir our hearts and to take us wherever we need to go with the message from God's word. Father, we ask it humbly in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand and sing with us? What are we singing? He touched me. He touched me. That's what we need.